had to make sure the mic was on because it's a problem of mine. As anyone who has been in here for worship, it's not always on. So I can hear it now. That I don't know that I like standing where I can hear it. So hey, happy Wednesday night to you guys. This is really cool. Some of these songs are some of my favorites. The worship team just crushed it tonight. So just give them a hand. You know. All right, so tonight's going to look a little different. Tonight, we're going to be talking about missions. We're going to be just kind of getting a big overview of all of our missions partners. That is something the church is extremely generous. Grace Meadows is extremely generous for our missions partners, and that is because of the generosity of the Eldridge family that allows us to use this place. And so because of that, we as a church get to be generous. So a big shout out and thank you to the Eldridge family and also and to you all, church. So we're going to kind of jump right in here. So I just want to give you a quick overview. So my role within this is to connect to our partners. So we have about 10 monthly partners that we work with, and meeting their needs, seeing where they are, what do they need, what are their prayers, you know, vision casting, you know, all those things. We get to really kind of connect with them, and it takes a little off Dallas, a little off the elder team, and just allows us to really step in and really support our missionaries well. So I'm pretty excited. It's been a great 6 weeks. I appreciate you all supporting me in that. And so I would love to take just a moment to pray before we get started, and then I'd love to jump right in. So Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this evening. God, we thank you just for the things that we have lifted to your name tonight, God. The families that have supported the church, the families that have built this beautiful place that we get to meet, God, in the work that you have done in this place and in these families and in our partners. God, this evening, let us just be open to hear about their ministries. Let us be open to our hearts for what you may put in our hearts this evening for these ministries, for these partners. And God, if we hear that call, let us answer it. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, so no particular order. We're going to start with ASP. And I've got some slides for generic, and then some I have for specific partners. So ASP is going to start. And Walter, I know you're here. I saw you somewhere. So if I leave anything out, please shout, okay? So locally, ASP serves to assist in bringing volunteers from around the country together for rural Appalachia to repair homes for low-income families. They do this in a number of ways. They have Saturday clinics. They have college-age, adult, and youth trips that are part of their outreach ministry. Now, as Dallas talked about and Matt's been working with our youth, our GMC youth team is headed to Charleston, West Virginia in just a few weeks. While they're there, they're going to be working on some project upstart things, I believe, because they're coming in at the beginning of summer. So laying out roadmaps where their students are going to be engaging, interacting, building, and restoring homes in the Charleston area. So we're very excited for their trip. Church, I know a lot of you have been a partner to them for the youth service night, so thank you very much for that. And we're going to do a brief overview tonight. And so if there's something in particular you guys want to jump into, let me know. I'll push a little bit more into you. But it is my goal for the church to know we have 10 partners, who the partners are, give you some faces, give you some names, and then we'll lean in from there. So next up, Grace Manor. I probably am not going to do this justice, Cheryl. I should just have you up here. But this one is near and dear to our hearts, and this is Cheryl Trzynski. So Grace Manor exists to build purpose-filled relationships to assist individuals from moving from a dependency to an independency state while making a lasting impact in the community and in their lives. Some of their outreach activities include their mobile bus ministry, which I know some of you have heard of. In addition to that, they have three brick-and-mortar partnerships within our community. Cheryl being she, and her team have worked really, really hard to incorporate partnerships with like Ballad and some of our local medical outreach clinics and programs as well. And if I left out anything, please correct me. So we are blessed to have Walter and Cheryl, and I know Walter has just stepped off from ASP, but we are blessed to have both of these in our congregation, and just a huge, huge blessing, and thank you to you both. So absolutely, absolutely. Tonight's a little different. So all right, Engage Tri-Cities. Engage Tri-Cities is in Lynn Garden, which is in the Kingsport side. They are headed up by Jonathan and his wife, Carla. They have been working really, really diligently to help restore Lynn Garden community. When he and I met a couple weeks ago, he said, you know, when we went there, there was no community presence. The older generation would say, you know, like, we used to have church. We used to have a community where we could go out. And then if you've been in the area, Lynn Garden was, it had kind of fallen away, and people would be like, oh, I don't know if we should go there. So they said God led them there, and they had been working very hard in that area, rebuilding the community. Part of what they do is they engage for events. So Fun Fest, which is a big activity that takes place in the Tri-Cities in July, they are actually hosting a Lynn Garden event in their area, in their community. So that was huge. The first time they did it, I think they said they had 40. Last year, I think they said over 500 families. So big progress being made, and another local ministry partner. They also do things like transitional housing. So they have apartments that help with families in transition. And then they also are in the process of rehabbing homes in the community. So they're going in and actually taking construction projects, making construction projects, and then allowing home utilization and then hopefully ownership opportunities. So they're transforming the community also by kind of reviving the community. So another really, really good program. We're going to keep rolling. YWAM. And YWAM, if you were here last summer, we got an opportunity to see Corey, Brooke, and their daughters and their son, Judah. So Corey, Brooke, their three daughters, and then Judah is the young man in the middle. I'm not sure the blonde hair sticks out to me. I love that. My son's blonde-headed. So, but these guys are great. These guys are great. So I got a chance to connect with Corey and Brooke a couple weeks ago. They're an amazing family. They truly, truly are. So they're in Kona, Hawaii. They work with YWAM. YWAM is Youth with a Mission. And essentially their goal is to take students who want to be disciples of Christ. They push them through a discipleship or community academic setting, essentially, where they teach them kind of the tools they need, and then they walk with them in their discipleship, and then they send them out to the nations. So Corey's position in that is he serves as a leadership capacity role and then kind of a pastoral leading role for their leadership team. So really, really big impact happening there. When I talked to them, they said they had about 550 kids coming in just a few weeks ago. So you're talking very, very large numbers. YWAM is an international presence. In fact, they met in the Australian, Corey and Brooke met in the Australian aspect. So there's huge things happening. Not just is this their ministry. When I talked to them, and I got an email from him the other night, they were in Mexico. So they serve in Kona, Hawaii, but that's like, they don't feel like God's like just called them to stop there. So they're still taking their family and going. And they really feel like they're called to reach the unreached. Which is, I think, a huge blessing because they're not just doing it, but they're teaching their kids, they're living it out every day. So pretty awesome. So please pray for them because they're recovering from a Mexico trip. So that has been huge for them. All right, Minjin. Minjin is David and Barbara Crossman. We're going to try and get them back again this summer and YWAM back again this summer as well. But they're in the Moldova region, and this ministry is really, really exciting. They tend to focus more in the Moldova region, but they did kind of pause temporarily with the Ukraine war, and they stepped into the Ukraine side of things for a short duration of time. But they really focus on one-on-one personal engagement. So that is Bible studies, that is his music ministry. They do a lot of video ministry as well, so they partner with different organizations to produce audiovisual productions for them to see that they improve their ministries through those things. David did share with me about 8 years ago when they started in that region, it was a state-owned religion. And in that state-owned religion area, they walked in and they threw rocks at them. And so that's where they started. And now state-owned religion has fallen and people are hungry for Christ and they can't keep up. They're absolutely on fire. And so it has been just a wonderful, wonderful thing that's been going on in that family. Now, next, we're going to go back to a local partner, Recovery Soldiers Ministry. And a couple months ago, we had an opportunity to have the men here. And if you were here for that event, they tell me it was an extremely powerful event. And so we're hoping to get the women soon in the next few weeks, so that will be really awesome. But I got to go out with Pastor Josh a few weeks ago and tour their facility. Their facility is in the Elizabethan area. When you drive through, you see this, and you see this all throughout their Elizabethan area. Their ministry is touching tons and tons and tons of people. They're truly rehabbing and changing Appalachia. What they're doing is they are taking people bound by the chains of addiction in our region and in Southwest Virginia, and they're bringing men and women into these intensive outpatient programs. They're sharing the gospel with them. They're living an intensely focused life on Jesus. The order of this is important. An intensely focused life on Jesus, and then they're recovering and rehabbing. Jesus is first, recovery, rehab. But it doesn't stop there. So they bring them in. They have a dormitorium. There's a women's campus, a men's campus, where they have like three-day Bible studies. They have church on Thursday nights. I mean, this is intense. There's, you know, leadership groups that go throughout. So they have training. They have vocational training. They have mental health services. They have spiritual care, medical care. When these men and women graduate from this program that takes about a year, they come out with either a vocational type degree, certificate, or a life skill that they can immediately turn and then go into the community and be successful. So this is a community that is really, really being changed. When we got a chance to go, and I wish I had taken some pictures, they have an auto body shop where they can get ASE certifications. They have three construction projects currently going where they take them in and teach them trade and life skills. So some of that could be like laying septic, some of that could be plumbing, electricians, drywall, something that they can come out with and generate income and be stable. So really, really a huge opportunity there. Vessel of honor is Stephen McKay. Stephen McKay is also near and dear to our hearts. He is out of Bluff City. We get Stephen in here quite frequently, and he is always absolutely on fire. I love to hear him speak. I love to interact with him, and then I feel like I need a nap because he is just on fire. And I would say that to him, and he would know that. So, but he and his ministry, they exist to reach the unreached with the gospel. They are truly committed to the care and nourishment of orphan children. Stephen has been all over the world, and I think the last time he told me it's like 50-some countries that he has been to. Most recently, they've had to kind of shift out of Africa, and they're putting a little more weight into Burma or Myanmar, which is, depending on where you're from, you'll call it something different, but essentially they are one in the same country, and they're right above Thailand, kind of up near the border of China, and just to the west of India or east of India. So orphanages there, and they're caring for children, they're meeting their needs, and then they're sharing the gospel. So a really, really awesome opportunity with Stephen. Next up, we've got Caesar. Caesar is the leader, and here's a picture with some of our folks when he was here. And Caesar's the leader of, I call it CGA because it's his entire name, and I will butcher it, so we're going to call it CGA because I don't want to mess it up. But it's Caesar Gerard Andre. I think I got it, nailed it. I've practiced it a bunch today. But his ministry is based in Haiti. Caesar and I talked the other night. He is, Craig, correct me, he is French Creole Haitian. Some mix is his dialect, yeah. And so it was an amazing conversation, and I tried really hard to listen very well. But he speaks with passion. He speaks with love. It just comes out of him. So Caesar is a wonderful, wonderful man. So he is currently in the United States. And so he said, I would rather you not talk about kind of what's happening. I'd rather you tell them what's happening right now. So briefly, he has seven churches. He has seven schools that is part of the ministry. And they're still thriving. That is the one thing he wanted me to make sure you all know. The schools and the ministries are still thriving. Here's some pictures from them. But he himself had to leave. The country of Haiti right now is in just desperate turmoil, for lack of better terms. Government oppression has been really, really heavy and hard, and there is guerrilla-type warfare going on. There's direct military opposition. There's gang violence. And I wrote some of these things down because he wanted me to really make sure I conveyed this. He says, it's this violence in these gang things is causing the price of everything to increase, forcing the people to leave, abandon their homes when they already don't have much. 30 to 45% of people are unable to purchase basic needs. And so he said, you know, please, please, please pray for him. He still has one daughter that is still in country. He says, thankfully, she is safe. But as you know, with any kind of war or paramilitary type activity, it's a very dangerous thing. So please, please pray for that. LXI, we're going to go back to another local. LXI is a local community-based ministry in Johnson City that exists to work in urban youth community. They help to meet, connect, and serve kids and their families in our downtown Johnson City area. Damon Johnson is their director, and his heart is using sports to target kind of kids. As he would say, it's kind of the carrot. I'm using the carrot to get the kids because I'm trying to take them, and he shared his story. He said, sports saved my life. And he's not afraid to share that. Sports saved my life, and it got him to Jesus. And that's actually who saved his life. But he said, you know, it was the sports that kept me from being in jail or dead. And so he's hoping to do that same thing. So LXI has been around for a while. Damon is now kind of the head of that ship. But they're really using sports to get the kids in the door. He feeds them. He shares the story. His story with them, he shares the gospel, and then he connects kids to counseling services, food services, and then additional resources to help the kids get the best opportunities they can to really help break generational poverty. It was a great conversation to have with him the other day to realize this is in our backyard, folks. Like, there's kids that they, I was like, what about food? Are they getting, you know, Second Harvest? Are they getting USDA? He said, doesn't matter if they don't have power to cook. Doesn't matter if they don't have a microwave or a fridge. So it was very, very good for me to hear. His big prayer and his big request is there's an opportunity for him to go to Los Angeles. One of the premier urban youth development programs is hosting anyone that can come. And so he said, if I can get out there, they will pay for all of my training. They will. It's covered. It's free. Everything out there. He said, I just got to get there. So he is asking, you know, if there's, obviously for prayer, and then, you know, if anyone feels drawn financially to assist with that as well. I just got off the phone with Juan Curling with our Mission Evangelism International group at 5:30. And so Juan is partnered with the Macedonia Christian Academy. He is high energy. He is very high energy, and I very much enjoyed my time with him. Some of the men have had an opportunity to go down to Texas and to help build the school. He said, man, I just want to tell you like how thankful we are to be back together. He said, we finally have our youth and our primary and secondary kids in the same school. And he said, what that allows for is it allows for discipleship. He said, because when you see the older kids saying, I messed up, I repented, and I did that because Jesus is in my heart, and they see that follow down to the younger kids, he said, we don't have to do it as teachers. We don't have to do it as administrators. He said, it's the best discipleship program that we've seen and is working. And so he's very thankful for all of our church's, you know, help with building and the construction projects that have taken place over many, many, many years. But now they're in facility, and they're able to see kind of the fruit of that come to life. And so that's the one thing he asked me to share. The other thing is they have a missionary building program. And he said, you know, with COVID and then the school construction, it's been down for a little bit. But he said, we're finally getting that back up and re-engaged and going. And he says, this allows us to bring in specifically Hispanic speaking, either native or non-native Hispanic speaking, and then give them the tools they need to either go back to, like he said, like Chicago, to go to LA, to go to New York, and be a presence for those communities that are just not having an opportunity. And he said, so that's really like our heart. And he said, sometimes they may not want to go to Chicago or New York right away, but they'll go to the border, they'll go work at the border for a little bit, and then they're like, you know what? I think God's calling me somewhere else. And so they get to take it back somewhere else. So it's been a really, really good thing. He's extremely excited to get that going again. So that is our 10 missions partners. Now, we made it through it pretty quickly. There's a quiz at the end. Steve, if you can pass out the sheets, I would greatly appreciate that. I'm going to start with number one. No. So, my goal, and I realized that was like a 10,000 foot elevation, quick, you know, shakedown, brief rundown, but my goal is that you will see over the next couple months, we'll try to get this in front of you all more, okay? Tara's been great to work with. She's really helping me to kind of get some information out there. So in your Monday emails, if you don't read them or you're not signed up, please do. There's a lot of really good information in there, but there's a Monday Missions Minute in there. And what we do is we highlight one of our partners every week and a prayer request that they've sent in or need. And so it's listed there. We will be transitioning to adding on Thursday into the Facebook in our private group. Again, kind of a missions partner in a need or a prayer. So that way we're getting in front of the church. Church, there was not one person that I didn't talk to that said, we need your prayers. We need your prayers. We need your prayers. And so I'd just like to take a moment for us to pray about that. And then I didn't feel like we could leave without a little extra Jesus tonight. So if that's okay with you all, I'd like to jump into some scripture as well. Okay. So, God, we thank you so much for who you are. God, we thank you for the families and the individuals that have heard your call in Matthew 28 to go and to carry the message to the ends of the earth. Father, we thank you for their hearing of your calling and their obedience to you. Lord, thank you for their willingness to serve. Thank you for the sacrifices and the commitment they've made for you, for your kingdom. God, we pray a prayer of blessing and protection over these families and the ministries you placed in their care. Lord, above all, we pray that we all continue to seek you, Lord, to seek your will, Lord, to seek to be the love that you shared with us. God, help them to lean into you as they continue to do your work in the kingdom on earth. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Church, I'm going to lovingly ask you again, please pray for our partners. And I wrote that down a bunch, and I'm going to ask you a bunch. And then I sat down tonight before coming, and I opened up Ephesians, and I just said, I don't have a plan. I'm just going to spend some time in the Word. You care to throw up that scripture for me, Steve? Please. So open up in Ephesians, and I was reading Paul, and Paul is, he's writing to some of the early followers that he maybe didn't know in Ephesus. And starts 1 in verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. Church, please pray for our partners. Paul's writing because he's got young followers out there that are strong in the faith, and he's encouraging them. And he says, I don't cease to pray for you. I read that and I thought, we can't cease to pray for our missionary partners. We can't commit just financially. We have to commit to prayer. We have to commit to service. We have to commit to being there when they are in need. And they do the same for us. I lovingly ask you again, please, please, please join me in prayer for our partners. If you guys would like to know more about our mission partners, or if you'd like to discuss missions, I'd love to speak with you. Our partners, they all have on-site needs, and I'd love to get you connected with them. But I want to say this, and I hope you hear me say this. You don't need the church. You don't need me. You don't need our team. Like, if God is calling you to do something, if God is calling you to partner or to reach out on your own, like, I'll give you whatever you want. You want any contact information, be it one of our partners, and if not, thankfully, over my wife and I's time being married, we have developed relationships with friends and family in different parts of the world that serve on the mission fields, and I would love to get you connected in any way I can. So please let me know. But it doesn't have to be through us. I truly want to say thank you, because that is the one thing that they all said. And it's hard to be the guy that gets to communicate the thank you, but it's a joyful thing as well. Like, every partner we have says thank you, thank you, thank you. And they covet your prayers. We've seen hospitals built, lives restored, churches built, the gospel spread, basic needs met, spiritual needs met, and the love of Christ shared. This is because of the kindness, the commitment, the generosity, your faithfulness, and truly loving our partners well. So please continue to do that. I'd like to leave you something to consider, and this is a quote from a missionary called Frank Laubach. And it says, I must talk about God, or I cannot keep him in my mind. I must give him away in order to have him. John Comer adds this, otherwise, if we don't, our faith will devolve into private, individualized coping therapy, and our spirituality will wither on the vine. If you want more of God, you have to give him away. If you want more of God, you have to give him away. I feel like our partners heard this call, like in Matthew 28, but they heard this same thing from God. But let us, myself included, let us hear it as well. We may not be called to the ends of the earth, but you could be called to your neighbor, you could be called to your coworker, you could be called to the person at the coffee shop beside you. Give some of your love, keep your eyes open, because you are in the living kingdom of God, and every person you meet is an opportunity to share the gospel with, to share his love. Be bold, be faithful in sharing your love and your light that Jesus has given you, and be free to give it away, because then you get to lean more into him to be refilled again. The worship team is got a really awesome set tonight. I love these guys, because I didn't even say it, and they just knew. This last song is Just Be. And the words are this. Everything else can wait. I've come to seek your face. Just be here at your feet, Jesus. There's nothing we want more. There's nothing that matters more. In this moment, would you please stand and worship?
One.